250. We're here. This is going to be an epic take. Actually, no, it is epic for us because we're together. We are here together, same room. We do it probably once every 6 months, maybe once a quarter.
Honestly, yeah.
Probably once every 6 months.
I think it's almost once every, like, trimester or whatever you'd call that. Once every 4 months. Is that what you said?
I said once a quarter. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so once every 4 months.
Yep.
Probably, yeah, around there. Anyways, we're doing Halo Night. It's Labor Day weekend. We don't have school on Monday, so sure we'll talk about how school is going. School. It's so funny to say, like, I have to go to school. When it's like, we're not in school, but we also are. That is our jobs. You know what I mean? Do you feel like you have to distinguish that sometimes?
Oh, you know what's amazing, though? You know what's amazing? It's like, for us, like, not having school means we literally don't do anything. Like, our job is school. For students, when they don't have school, they have to go to their jobs. And yeah. I think that's the coolest thing in the world, that it's like, oh, we got Labor Day off. Some students, I'm sure, working 8 hours a day. I'm working 0 hours on Labor Day.
Zero. That's what I've been doing with basketball training. Every time there is a holiday for the Jordan School District, I don't train.
Oh.
That's the boundary I put on myself. I'm like, I'm gonna have a day off.
I love that.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have a good, nice little day off on Monday.
Yeah. Kennedy comes in from Florida, so pick her up, and then we're gonna go to Edna's off of Lehigh. It's like a Boston Market type thing.
I don't know.
Looks good.
Is.
So we're gonna try it out.
Oh, sweet.
So I'll let you know how it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a good weekend. I just got back from golfing. We're recording this on Saturday. Normally we record on Sunday, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I have some movies that I watched that I want to talk about. And also I'm going to chime in on my draft. I loved the Fun Movie Club college draft. But what was I going to say? But yeah, I went golfing today and it was terrible, but it was an amazing, amazing course. Eaglewood, North Salt Lake. Like I mentioned a couple takes ago, I have the golfing bug really bad. So having a blast.
I have a, let's see. I went golfing one time with our mutual friend Neard and our buddy Mario Santana. And I found that I could get onto the green within like 2-3 hits.
That's solid.
But it took me another 4 to get it in the hole.
That was me today. I literally could not. You know what's so funny about the word literally? I try not to say it, but I still say it.
Say it as often as you want.
Yeah, who cares? But, yeah, I was really trying my best to really play a good round, and the greens were incredibly hard. But you know what? It was so fun. It's better than knocking doors.
Yes. I get, you know what would be funny is a draft of things that you'd rather do before going back to do summer sales again.
Gosh.
That's a good like, one. I don't know. There's a
– you'd rather work at Little Caesars. From high school, then.
Oh, absolutely. To be honest, Little Caesars is one of my most favorite jobs I've ever had. You don't know why? I worked with my best friends. I really didn't work a lot. It's in like the best time of your life.
Yeah. And you're in high school?
You're in high school. It's great. You're having a good time.
How many hours a week were you working? Like 20?
29? Like 12 when I was in high school. Probably like 12 to 15.
Are you serious?
Yeah, when I was in high school.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I got like older and I was working there in college. I don't know. I was probably working like – probably more like 30, 35.
Yeah.
A little bit more full time.
Yeah.
But it was great because you come in at like 7. It opens at 11.
So you have 4 hours to prepare.
Exactly. And then nice. No one's in there really until like 5 o'clock p.m.
That's when it gets busy.
Yeah. Definitely was.
I think before I did summer sales, so we've talked about it. Keeks and I had a great conversation. We like to call each other on Bangator when we get off work. Because he, like I said, he's 2 miles away from me. But we had this great flashback to 2016. We did summer sales. At that time, I was cleaning my dad's. So my grandma owns an office complex with like 20 bathrooms. Yes, 20 bathrooms.
Oh, my gosh.
So I was cleaning those. I was like vacuuming, mopping. It sucked, but I would rather do that again than knock doors. Because here's why. I could go in anytime and clean. Mm-hmm. I could put in my headphones. I can listen to music, a podcast. And it's one of those mindless jobs that's just like, you get done.
Yeah.
Now, summer sales, I did learn some good skills. I'm glad I did it, but boy, it was an experience.
Yeah, absolutely would never do it again. And, you know, even for me, like, most of the jobs that I've had have been, like, pretty good jobs. You know, one job that I would, take summer sales over? Customer service at a little place called ROI Solutions.
Oh, my gosh. That's
I worked for, like, 2 weeks. Our buddy Steve-O worked there. He was like, yeah, I work for ROI Solutions. It's like a call center. But specifically, I did customer service. When I got hired, they were like, it's for this, like, health company, but you don't need to know much about the products. Just answer the phones. So I was like, okay. So I'm answering the phones. And the health product is, like, a lot of, like, weird bull crap that doesn't really do anything. And the owner was this super intense guy that expected us to know everything.
For ROI.
Oh, yeah. It was like a small – like companies will contract out ROI to do their customer service basically. Mm-hmm. And so this guy was having a meeting with me and this like single mom with like three kids or something. And she knew the product super well. And he was giving us a quiz, and I bullcrapped all of it. And he talked with the lady previously. She's like, you know what? You get an A. You know everything. You're doing great. And he asked me the questions, and he asked me some questions. I answered back, and he's like, Kimiko, you get an F-. You don't know anything about this stuff. And, like, the next day, my manager at ROI fired me.
Stop.
Yeah, and I was like, I thought I wasn't supposed to know anything. He's like, yeah, like, he doesn't want you here anymore. So it's like, okay. I literally fell asleep for 45 minutes at that job. I just like, fell asleep at that job. But that job was worse than summer sales.
Every day you fell asleep.
I would like, zone out. Because no one would call. I'd get, like, four calls in, like, the six-hour shift that I had. Oh, but literally, it was, like, imagine the worst office space you've ever seen, and it was worse than that. Like, I would rather go out and knock in the sun in 120 degrees than go back to that dingy office building for ROI Solutions. I hate summer sales, but you literally, like, even if they're like, you're going to own this company and we'll pay you $1.5 million a year, it wouldn't even be enough to go work at ROI Solutions again.
Which location was it? Was it the one right by UVM?
It was the one
by Trafalgar, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't freaking remember. It was horrible. It was one of the worst jobs I ever had. And then I worked at another call center for, like, this MLM, and that was a pretty good job. I worked there for, like, 3 years.
Oh, Singular?
Yeah, it's Singular. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the worst jobs that I've ever had is right when I got home from a mission, I worked at Asus Athletics, the front desk job. I will say the nice thing about that is that I met Tanner for Lace Him Up.
Yeah.
And so that kind of got me in the foot with my foot in the door. My gosh, I always switch things around sometimes. Yeah, it's bad. What condition is that?
I don't know.
It's got to be some type of condition.
This might be the TCI.
Is it just the TCI-itis?
Yeah,
but anyways, I worked at Asus Athletics. I was the front desk job. I took the Saturday a.m., 5 a.m. shift, awful. There is nothing worse than working a Saturday 5 a.m. shift.
No.
Like, I kid you not. And I was there from 5 a.m. to 11 a.m.
What were you doing?
Just checking people in. Like, I would bring my cereal and eat, and just sometimes I would just sleep because there was nobody coming in. One time I asked, and I tried my hardest to get somebody to substitute for me and cover for me. Because it was Friday night, Halloween, and then the next day was Saturday, and nobody took it, and I stayed up the whole night. I was miserable. I don't know how people do an all-nighter. I cannot do it.
No, I mean, like, there are very few instances where I think I'd be willing to pull all-nighters, but absolutely not. That sounds like a miserable experience. 5 a.m., any job that's, like, before, you know what I mean? Like, before 7 o'clock in the morning, as I have a job that I have to get up at 5:45.
Yeah.
But at least I enjoy that job.
Yeah.
It's got to be a job you really, really like.
And we get done at 3. And the other thing about that Asus Athletics job, one of my coworkers was just a jerk. He was just a tool.
Name names. Just kidding. Don't name names.
No, I won't. But no. Yeah, he was kind of a jerk. But yeah, so that's that. Should I – I want to chime in about my college draft. Is that okay? Can we shift gears?
Yeah, college draft.
From last week, from Movie Club.
Yeah. Okay.
I got it. Okay, what do you want to hear first?
Whatever you want to do first.
Okay.
Ooh, I want to hear your what movie was on the most.
Movie was on the most?
Yeah, what was on TV the most? That was our last one that we
I
did.
I know. Like, movie or TV show?
What doesn't matter.
Like in college.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably The Office.
Yeah.
It was probably The Office.
This is
living with Eric and Steve-O.
Yeah.
That was kind of like I watched The Office first in when I was a junior in high school when I got thumb surgery. I remember watching The Office so much during that time, but like in college, especially when I was living with Eric and Steve-O in 2015 to 2016, that The Office was on all the time. Like we would just sit down there and watch The Office.
I actually think I know what your answer is.
What?
Rocket League! Rocket League!
Oh man, we had Murph, a great roommate. That was when Halo 5 came out. That was some really fun gaming. That was some top tier gaming.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, we had a roommate that played Rocket League, and we could hear him upstairs getting so excited, getting jazzed up. It was actually really funny. It was a good time.
Yeah.
So I'd say The Office. Another college one was Tron. That was on a lot. Yeah, but I'd say The Office. Another one that I actually started watching in college, this was at Western Wyoming. This is one of my other picks, was The Spectacular Spider-Man. I only had two seasons, but boy, this show ripped. He makes a cameo in Across the Spider-Verse.
It is a good show. Good show.
Okay, let's go to TV show now, since we're on the trend.
Yeah, perfect.
Let's go on the trend. This TV show was, I was still in college. This is kind of recency bias, but I binged the crap out of it. And it was my, not recency bias, kind of plays off of recency bias, but that is Breaking Bad. In 2014.
Now this is what you think people watch for the first time in college.
Yes.
TV show wise.
Yeah.
Okay. You still think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
I thought so too.
But
like every student I have, it feels like they're obsessed with Breaking Bad.
I was just about to add that. At the junior high I worked at last year, people were talking about Breaking Bad. So I would say Breaking Bad for me, because that's when I first watched it, was in college. And I was floored by it. Another one I do want to add here, Game of Thrones. That's another college watch.
I think Game of Thrones is probably, like, that's probably the right answer. Like, Breaking Bad, they probably a lot of people do, but I get students that are, like, they're super inspired by, like, the nonlinear cold opens in Breaking Bad, the POV shots. Like, film kids are really into Breaking Bad. Whereas, oh, is this a – that's a bad throw. We're watching college football, too. I think Breaking Bad is like a junior, senior year of high school show where you kind of are watching it without your parents knowing. You know what I mean?
It's kind of, yeah, it's one of those behind the
– But you're still old enough to, if they come down and see you watching it, they're not, like, going to get upset.
Yeah.
Because you're old enough. You can watch it.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to go to date movie.
Got it.
I think this is a great date. I'm actually really happy about this pick. This is a good date movie to take any date, whether you are serious, whether it's like your third date, anything like that. That is Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams, Game Night.
Yeah, that banging pick. That's a great pick.
Thank you.
I keep telling Becky about that movie, and I think it's on Hulu right now. And I always scroll past, and I'm like, oh, I'd love to watch it, but like I'm always in the mood for something a little different. But wow, yeah, that's a good one.
If no one has seen Game Night, especially if you're in a group, this is a great movie. You, me, and Steve-O went and watched this, and I remember seeing the poster for it, and I think even the preview, but specifically the poster, I'm like, that looks awful. We went and watched it. This is a movie where I was like, okay, I judged the book by its cover way too early. Game Night is fantastic. I think it's like an A quality comedy.
The running jokes in it are like absolutely some of the best bits you'll see in comedy. There's two specifically, one with the neighbor and then one with Winston from New
yes,
Girl,
yes.
His wife.
He's like, yeah, I slept with this person.
And as it unravels,
they reveal it. And then they reveal it. He's like, no. Yeah, anyways, you gotta watch it.
Oh, it's so funny. It's so funny. That's a good one. Okay, that's a good date pick.
Okay, for bro movie, this is a movie that I relate to, that you were also there, Keeks, but this is like kind of that college bro movie. Specifically, I'm going with the sequel, John Wick Chapter 2. We all went to the theater to watch this, all the bros, and just like classic action movie, newer genre of action. So John Wick Chapter 2 gets my pick for bro movie.
I think even more so, it's like whatever John Wick movie is the newest is like the boys, like we're going to get out, we're going to go and get, you know what I mean? You're going out and you're going to go watch John Wick.
Yep, yep. So that's my bro movie.
Okay.
What was yours again last week?
I don't remember. Yeah, I wish I could remember. I don't remember.
Another one I want to add, Jackass.
You know what's so funny? It's like, yeah, I don't think the kids, it's totally on their radar yet, which is weird. Like, because like in high school, a million, like we went and watched Jackass 3 in school.
Yeah.
Like I remember like coming home from school, me and Eric rented it before I had a soccer game, and we watched it on like my TV before I had a soccer game in high school.
Yeah, Jackass.
So good, Jackass 3 specifically.
Okay, we're going to go to comedy.
Yeah, nice.
Comedy. This is one of my favorite comedies since the past decade. This is classic. These are two actors where you're like, I didn't think they would be paired up, but they work. That is The Nice Guys.
I knew it. Yeah. As soon as you said, I didn't think that they would work, like this pairing, I was like, oh, I know exactly Russell what Crow, it is. It's Russell, The Nice Guys.
Yeah, Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling are just energy on screen.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of ashamed that none of us picked that one last week. Because that is like a great answer.
The Nice Guys. So yeah. Good story, too.
Fun movie club. We got to up our game a little bit.
Shane Black, make better movies like The Nice Guys because you've kind of been in a rut lately. A
little bit. Shots fired.
Okay, let's go with Scary. I watched this after actually watching the sequel. That is The Shining.
Oh.
Yeah, that's going to be my college watch, The Shining.
I think that's a pretty good one. I think for a lot of kids, like, they don't really get in. You're getting into horror. Like, if you weren't before, college is, like, really going to determine if horror is your thing or not. Because, yeah. Oh, my gosh, the amount of times you're out together, a bunch of dudes and girls, the night is winding down, let's go back, let's watch a horror movie, let's watch a scary movie. It's generally something, like, sinister or insidious. But, like, if you're with the right group, yeah, The Shining. That's a good, they're like, let's go watch The Shining. That's like the kids at UC Berkeley are going home to watch The Shining. At BYU, we're going to watch, I don't know, we're going to go watch The Testaments. I'm just kidding. I'm throwing out a religious niche movies. No, you're probably going to watch like Insidious or something. Yeah. Or like Blair, not even Blair Witch, something PG-13.
With Ethan Hawke with yes. The tapes upstairs. Yeah, I've read that synopsis and that is spooky.
It is a lot of jump scares. It's a scary one, but yeah, a lot of jump scares.
Yeah. But yeah, Dr. Sleep influenced The Shining. I went and watched that with, remember Seth, our friend yeah. Seth? So yes, watched that with him, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty spooky. But it's more like atmospheric.
Yeah.
Is that the word? With The Shining, and yeah, Dr. Sleep I thought was good. Equalizer 3, you're going to go see it. The trailer's on right now.
The other ones.
So. I saw the first one. It's fine.
I feel like, did it come off the tails of the John Wick stuff?
For sure.
Got it. Okay, then I don't know. I might see it.
It's Denzel.
Go catch it.
Okay, for my last pick, this one was hard for The Miscellaneous. Mm-hmm. And what do you think I'm going to pick? You have two movies that
I saw it. I think I did see it.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Baby Driver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did see that.
Dang it. Anyways, I'm going with Baby Driver because... This was in 2017 when I was like really starting to kind of like broaden my horizons of movies. And this was such a unique watch with like how music was incorporated. The style was awesome. And I still think Baby Driver has the best opening right into it with a bank robbery, right into a chase scene. So clever. Bell bottoms. Yeah. Baby Driver. That's my miscellaneous pick. I love it.
Haven't seen it since it opened. Since we saw it, I have not seen it. Yeah. So maybe it's due for a rewatch. I got to watch some more Edgar Wright, though. Especially after seeing Hot Fuzz. I'm like, oh my gosh, Hot Fuzz rocks. I got to watch like the rest of that Cornetto trilogy, which I found out what a Cornetto is. I didn't know that it's like a drumstick, one of those ice cream things.
Oh.
Yep. They go in and ask like, oh, let's go get some Cornettos. I had no idea. So I assume that's probably like a common object in the trilogy.
Oh, okay. And then Last Night in Soho.
Never seen it.
Yeah, I want to watch that. This sounds like a spooky watch.
Maybe a Halloween watch?
Yeah. Oh, that would be good.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. There's my college draft. Okay. What do you think? Give me a grade.
No, I think it's a B+, A- amount of picks. I think a couple of them are like
Game Night and Nice Guys are about two picks that I'm really proud about.
Those we should have taken a look at those ones a little bit better. Because yeah, the Nice Guys especially, that's like a classic. You find it in college, and then it becomes your personality for like the semesters. Like, yeah. you haven't seen the Nice Guys? You gotta watch the Nice Guys.
Yeah.
Every freaking movie Twitter guy who's like, man, underrated movie that no one saw was The Nice Guys. It's like, we've all freaking seen it, man. Yeah, we didn't see it in theaters because the marketing for it was so bad. But yes, we've all seen it. If you're into movies, you've seen The Nice Guys.
Yep.
That's it.
Love it.
That's a good. Those are some good picks, though. I like your Date Night one. That's a really good one. Your Miscellaneous. It's.
I know you don't feel the same way about Baby Driver the way I do.
I don't. I wish I would have liked it more, but I think if I go back and revisit it, my opinion could change.
Yeah. I liked it. Still do. What'd you watch?
I start the semester going over something called it's one of the first things I teach my students. It's the four P's: people, place, plot, and purpose. So we watched La La Land, and then we had a class discussion about it.
Oh, so you've already watched La La Land.
Oh, yeah. I saw it three times this week. I freaking love that movie, man. It might be movie. It's probably in my top 10 now.
What about Oppenheimer? You saw that four times. Talk about.
The thing is, though, is like, is Oppenheimer going to stand
the test of time?
Like, if you're going to watch it at your house.
Yeah.
If you're going to watch it like on the big screen, like on your TV at home.
Yeah.
Is it going to do the same for you?
Kind of like an Avatar.
Yeah. La La Land definitely can. I'm curious to see if Oppenheimer will. If it does, you still got to give it a few more years. La La Land, though, I think it shoots up to probably 8 for me or something like
really?
That.
Really?
And maybe it might just take Breakfast Club out, because I think Breakfast Club is out of my list now. Like, it's fine, but
watching that last year, I was kind of like, really, this is in Keek's top 10. Now I get it; it was probably nostalgic, but watching that,
I don't really know why I have it there. To be honest, I think it was just like a trendy pick that I had. But definitely, yeah, I'd put like Lion in there. I'd probably put I'd put La La Land in there, maybe some other picks. But it's so great to see the students that like most of them have never seen it.
Sure.
And so to show it to them, and they're like, "I thought I was gonna hate it, but like, I kind of liked it a lot." Like, and then my favorite part is talking about the end. Because if you haven't seen La La Land, you know, we're not really going to spoil it for you, even though it's an almost 10-year-old movie. But the end's a little divisive.
Yes.
And I think the end is going to be different for you depending on what your experiences with relationships and love has been. If you've had some bad breakups and you've had some bad luck, I think you're going to think, oh, I hate it. I wish they were together at the end. Because I think it might touch a little bit of a nerve for you.
Yeah,
But for me, it's like, I don't know. I've never really had like bad breakups. For me, it's just like, yeah, like I think that's what life is. You know, if you've made, you know, if you're still kind of amicable or you don't hate the person that you were with, like you might not talk with them, but you hope for them the best. I think La La Land ages pretty well for you.
Yeah.
So I love the ending. I think it's great. And I had to tell him, it's like, I'm 30 years old. You're all between the ages of 16 and 18, okay? You have not been in love. You have not had relationships. Come talk to me about what you think about the end in 10 years, and then we'll have a real chat. But until then, I appreciate your input.
What did the students say to that? They just laugh?
I can never tell if they laugh or not, because I just think I'm funny. So
yeah.
I don't care what they think. They're children. What do they know?
That's so funny. I did some presentations for the portfolio that we have at Jordan Academy. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because I tried to make quotes. I put in some memes, and some students were like really into it, and some students were like, huh? Like, I don't know. It's just one of those things. Like, it's a lot of information that I was presenting. So some of it was kind of going over their heads. Some of it was like, our teachers already talked to us about that. So anyways, what did your students think about La La Land? Were they just like floored?
They seemed to really like it overall. Yeah. Some of them were like, I thought it was boring. Like, it didn't do anything for me. It's like, oh, really? You that was sitting with your friend chatting during the whole movie?
With your phone out.
Yeah. Actually, I tell them if I see them on their phone twice, then everyone's going to grade for the movie, and they automatically get a 0. So that keeps kids off their phone.
That's I didn't have to tell anyone twice. Actually, I had to tell a kid to put the phone in his backpack, and he, like, opened it and, like, pretended to put it in, and I'm like, you didn't even put it in. Put the phone in the backpack. He's like, sorry, and then unzipped it and put the phone in
Do
the backpack.
Do you have a lot of discipline issues? Or
no.
No, it's pretty good.
No,
pretty
I keep it.
I feel like you are, like, a likable teacher. You're pretty straight, and I feel like you don't want to, like, lose your respect.
More so than anything, like the – my first day, so like in video two, sometimes I have some students that have not taken video one. And I'm basically like, my job here is not to teach you video one. I expect that you already know everything about video one and that you're going to know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And right after that, I have one video two class this year and then two next year. Immediately, I had three kids transfer out.
That's so funny.
No, four. I had four kids transfer out.
Jeez.
So that's what happens. You know what I mean? Can't you know, if you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Get out of the kitchen.
Yeah. Let us cook.
Okay. I want to talk about a trailer real quick. Ferrari. Okay. Did you see it? Michael Mann?
Yeah.
Adam Driver.
Some great shots.
Could be good. Could be good.
It's playing at Venice this week.
Michael Mann is back.
Yeah, when was the last time he made a movie? I think I was looking.
Yeah, we talked about this a couple
10 years
ago.
Yeah,
it's been 10 years. And the last one he made was apparently a stinker.
Yeah, it was with Hemsworth.
Yeah.
What's his name? Why can't I remember his name?
Chris,
that's it.
Black
yep.
Cat? Is that what it was called?
It's something like that. So good to see him back, and potentially he might be making Heat 2 with Adam Driver.
What?
Oh, yeah, you didn't hear that? And Oscar Isaac and Austin Butler might be in the movie.
Yeah, he directed Black Cat. That came out in 2015, and then he did one episode of Tokyo Vice. So.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been chilling on the bench for some time.
Did you see the Killer trailer? New David Fincher movie?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll watch that after
Dude,
this.
Dude, frick, David Fincher's back, man. It's got, like, that grime to it. Mank was a decent watch. Like, I didn't hate Mank, but certainly, like, seeing the trailer for The Killer, it's like, ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Okay, is this the year of Michael Fassbender? Is this his comeback with Next Goal Wins and The Killer?
I don't – yes, I do to a degree, but I'm not going to say that I'm really up in the air about Last Goal Wins. I'm very reserved about it just because, man, Thor, Love, and Thunder. I don't know what it did for me in Taika, but it was so bad that I'm like.
It has created a riff for you.
It was so bad that I'm like, okay, this needs to, you know, this has got to do it for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I think it will.
I get you.
But The Killer is going to be great. Venice Film Festival is happening right now. So Poor Things, the Yorgos Lanthimos movie, just barely came out. Some really good buzz about it. Emma Stone's apparently great, as she always is. Shout out La La Land. So I don't know, man. What do you think? What do you think about this year, kind of the remaining slate?
Well, I have not talked about this because I wasn't on last week. But Keeks, I'm upset with you for calling the Dune delay. You called it. And when that happened, I was like, dang it. So it's a bummer because Dune just felt like, just has like that November vibes of being out in the fall. You know what I mean? Just kind of like the orange of sand and the orange of fall. Like, oh, I wanted it so bad. And now that it's pushed back to March, I'm like.
We do get Killers of the Flower Moon, though.
If that's coming through. Because I was telling Kenny, I was like, I don't think that comes. That's for sure still.
Yeah, oh yeah, they pushed the release date so that it's just gonna be one wide release. I think Killers of the Flower Moon could be Marty's like highest grossing film of all time.
Well, now with Dune being delayed, like people are gonna really go watch Killers of the Flower Moon. I think it's just gonna be Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and probably Barbie for Oscars, unless who else do you think? Ferrari?
I mean, we're getting to the Oscar bait season here in the next couple months. I think Ferrari, I think, like, anytime you get, like, a Fincher, you know, Yorgos Lanthimos, kind of like these bigger directors, but there's a lot of stuff coming out, man. Like, there's already stuff coming out that I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, I just, like, am forgetting everything that's coming out.
So Dune got delayed mainly in large part to, obviously, the strike.
Yes.
But do you think that's also contributing to, like, Zendaya and Timothée Chalamet promoting it?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly why they delayed it.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. SAG strikes. Honestly, probably specifically the SAG strike. If SAG was not striking right now, they wouldn't have delayed it. You know what's a movie that still comes out this year that we have not seen a lick of anything for?
Who? What?
Aquaman 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is it delayed? Like, it's been delayed since 2019. It is the new – are we going to say this?
It's the new New Mutants.
Yes.
But here's my theory with Aquaman 2. Okay. They drop a trailer 3 weeks out. That's it. 3 weeks to 4 weeks, like a month out. And then they get a little bit of buzz, a little bit of hype. So it's like recency thing, you know, recency bias, like, oh, this is coming out. And then, yeah, they drop it. So I bet they drop a trailer, seriously, 2 to 3 weeks ahead of the movie. They're
really?
they're gonna do something new. Because everybody knows that Aquaman 2 has had so many delays. So I think they're just going to do something totally different and drop a trailer. Like, I think maybe the earliest is a month out.
Do you remember how early we got that trailer for the first one? And not only 5 minute long trailer.
Oh, it was long.
Yeah. And I've heard that, like, test screenings are poor, to say the least, for it. So I think another thing is that it's like they have no faith in it. And they're just like, I don't know, we'll just, we got to throw it out. We got to take the loss on it.
Yeah. Bummer.
Bad year for DC.
Bad year. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? The Flash is better than Blue Beetle. I don't know what y'all saw in Blue Beetle. I like The Flash.
I agree.
Yeah.
Is The Flash the best superhero movie of the year?
No, it's
Guardians.
It's Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah. But like, no, live action. Guardians, then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, then probably The Flash, right?
Probably. Yeah, that's probably what I put it. Maybe then, I had a lot to go with.
And then obviously Spider-Verse. But we're going live action. Yeah, I'd probably give that rank.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to talk about real quick what I watched over the week.
Yeah.
I watched Up in the Air, Jason Reitman.
Oh, I loved that. Yeah.
I didn't love it.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No, I've never seen it.
Okay.
it gives me those like Ides of March, you know, like the like political George Clooney movies. I don't even know if he's in it, but like
George Clooney is in it. Yeah,
he is. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It gives me those kind of vibes. Well, why didn't you like it?
So we have George Clooney, we have Anna Kendrick, Jason Bateman. Here's the thing. This maybe is me to a fault, but Jason Reitman, knowing him from Juno, and like seeing this cast of Up in the Air. I mean, you have Zach Galifianakis, you have what's his name, Danny McBride, J.K. Simmons. You have these people that are in this cast.
That's
like
Sam Elliott?
Sam Elliott. You have these people in this cast. You're like, oh my gosh. You watch it. Danny McBride has like three scenes. Zach Galifianakis has one scene. J.K. Simmons has one scene. George Clooney works for a corporation where he goes and he fires people. So like a business will hire George Clooney and their firm to come in and fire people and give them like a severance package. And he gives them a speech. So the tone of the movie is like kind of sad.
Yeah,
and like George Clooney, just he plays this like the same person in a lot of movies. Just the cool, suave guy,
sure,
handsome.
Kind of the Ryan Gosling before we had Gosling,
for sure.
Yeah.
But like even Gosling has more range than George Clooney in my opinion.
Yeah, because his comedy great.
Yeah, so George Clooney was, I mean, he's fine in it, but he's just the same. But he's having like this little fling with this other this lady that he meets. Like in a conference. And so that was interesting. And then Anna Kendrick is kind of just, you know, she's like really in love with her boyfriend. Like that's why she came out and that's why she took this job. And she's like an outstanding Yale student graduate. And I actually really liked Anna Kendrick and George Clooney on screen. Anna Kendrick actually got nominated for supporting actor Oscar, an Oscar nominee for this role. But man, just the story beats didn't land. It was like too serious. I wish it was a little bit more funny, a little bit more whimsical. So yeah, it was a bummer. It was a bummer. I'd give it a C+ sour.
Wow.
Up in the Air. Yeah. Didn't love it. Some things I did like, but my expectations were a little bit skewed on what I was expecting.
You know what I didn't even get to talk about?
What?
International Cinema Day last Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Went to Beyonce last Saturday night. I guess what? Yeah. So, yeah, last week. Not this past Saturday, the Saturday before. As we're driving to Beyonce, me and Becky are like, what if we like just went and saw Oppenheimer? 70mm IMAX.
Chinese theater.
Chinese theater. We're like, just drive the extra few hours and go see it. I call up me, Jack, and Jake. We've been working on Till Death together. I call Jake up and I'm like, dude, do you guys want to fly out and watch? Like, we've been wanting to go see it in IMAX 70mm, and it just stopped playing in IMAX 70mm on August 31st. So this would be like our last chance to see it.
And Jake's like, sounds pretty good. Like, hold on. Let me think about it. And so I call Jack. Jack doesn't answer, but I text the group chat. 2 minutes later, Jake's like, okay, I found a ticket. Yeah, we're going to come.
So no way. Out. That's
they
so cool.
Flew out. They got in there like Saturday night. We went to Beyonce, got home at like 1, woke up at 5 o'clock so that we could go and drive 4 hours away to the Chinese theater and watch Oppenheimer in IMAX 70mm. And let me tell you what, it absolutely is the best way to see that film. I couldn't believe how amazing it looked, how great it sounded. It was like maybe the best version of seeing it. I've seen it 4 times now, and it was
You saw it in 70mm in Florida too, right?
Yes, I did.
Was this Chinese theater better?
Oh, it was massive. Oh, it's the biggest screen you've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, even bigger. Like, we've got those digital IMAX screens here, which are big. But, like, oh my gosh. It feels like a different
Like, piece. You feel like you're in there.
Yeah. Oh, dude. And, like, the projector is crisp. The sound is crisp. Because, you know, like, when we saw the digital IMAX, it feels like too loud almost.
Yeah, like there's scenes. Is the dialogue better in the 70mm?
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's like 70mm IMAX. It's all optimized for that, and it's perfect.
Because I felt like I mentioned, like, there was times where I was like, I cannot hear them as clear.
I think you got to see it again. I think you got to watch it again with captions on.
I do.
You're going to bump that bad boy up.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would love to watch it again with captions. Mm-hmm. I didn't find this out about the 70mm IMAX until like 2 weeks before Oppenheimer came out, that there's only 19 in the United States. Oh, is that correct?
Yes.
So is that misleading that there's an actual IMAX screen here in Geneva?
I mean,
is that kind of like a, you know what I mean? Is that a white lie per se?
It is and it isn't. So what you have at those 19 theaters is when you film on IMAX, it is actual film that, like, you put onto a projector and you watch, and it's just a bigger, like, image size, basically. What you get with the IMAX stuff here is a digital conversion for IMAX screens from those film prints. So an IMAX screen in Utah is equipped to handle the format exported, but it cannot handle, it does not have the projection size nor the capabilities to actually play the film print.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So that's the biggest difference. Is IMAX 70mm is actual film that it plays through a projector. IMAX screens can still be IMAX, but it's a digital version.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's your biggest difference.
Okay.
Yeah, as a side note.
I would love to rewatch it.
At the Broadway Theater in Salt Lake, they're starting to do their like Halloween selections over the next few weeks. And they're doing Evil Dead 2 and 35mm in a couple weeks.
So. Sam Raimi. Are you going to go?
I don't know.
Have you seen it before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen it before. I just love, man, film. Do you remember when we just, like, movies were just played in film when we were growing up?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Like, that's gone now. The only film projector is at the Broadway Theater.
That's wild. Yeah. Everything's digital now.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They did do Oppenheimer in 35mm, though. So if you wanted to, like, see it like that, you could have.
Really? They did? Yeah. That's cool. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Love it. Okay, let me give 2 more things that I watched.
Cool.
Watched Before Sunset. So last 2 weeks ago, I believe I talked about Before Sunrise, the first of the trilogy with Jesse and Celine, and then Keeks and I reviewed Before Sunset in 2020 for our IMDb. It was sitting at like 234 at the time. It's actually jumped to 220 now.
Oh, okay.
Before Sunset. So it's the second. It's the sequel to Before Sunrise. And I did not watch Before Sunset in 2020. I did not watch Before Sunrise before watching Before Sunset. All these befores.
Yeah, lots of
befores. Each. But Before Sunset, I like it a lot more. Now watching Before Sunrise, Jesse and Celine are awesome. I just love their dialogue and just the topics they talk about. They're funny. They're serious. They have some tension. You know, a little maybe frustration, a little bit of regret, especially with Before Sunset. I love that it picks up with like them asking like, wait, were you there that day at the train? And then Jesse explains like he wasn't. And then like 2 minutes later, he's like, yeah, actually I was. So I will say the only problem with Before Sunset is when they see each other in the bookstore, it's like, if I were Jesse, I would have been like, what the, I would have been freaking out. He's like really calm. And then he starts kind of being giddy as they're walking out. But yeah, I loved it. It's an A/sweet. I still like Before Sunrise a little bit more. Okay. Moving on to Fargo. The Coen brothers.
Yeah.
They're back.
Oh my God. Classic. They are back.
They're back.
30 years ago, they're back.
The Coen brothers, man, they're some of my favorite directors. This has been like my Coen brothers, just like how you had the Lynch last year, David Lynch. This has been maybe the Coen brothers discovery this year for me. I have loved Burn After Reading, Fargo. I've seen Oh Brother, We're Out There before, but that was a fun little rewatch. I'm going to watch True Grit. No Country for Old Men, I've seen. I've seen that one. Calm down. I'm going to rewatch it now. I have to rewatch it.
Okay.
I watched that. That was a good college watch, too. I watched that in college.
That might be the ultimate one. That's like the ultimate. What did you watch for the first time in college? No Country for Old Men. That might be the ultimate choice.
I watched that, like, I think in 2015 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
Floored.
Same. That's probably right.
Okay.
Actually, no, that's I think I watched it like 2012.
Yeah, that's the new college watch is No Country for Old Men. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's good. So yeah, Fargo was fantastic. I mean, tight watch, buck and a half. It's sub 100 minutes. Great performances from Francis McDormand and is it William H. Macy? What's his name? Macy.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, his portrayal as Jerry. He is insufferable. Like, one of the worst characters I've seen in cinema history. And he's just, oh my gosh, I couldn't stand him. But it's just like kind of how Burn After Reading, Coen brothers are so good with building tension and a domino effect. If one thing goes bad, well, that one thing that went bad also affects this thing going bad.
Wow.
So I love the domino effect that the Coen brothers can really do. So
I think this is like the ultimate TC arc. Is that you find out that the Coen brothers are your favorite directors. Because that's like, honestly, I don't feel like that's a very common answer, which is weird, because at least one of their films is in like someone's top 10.
For sure. For sure.
Almost always.
Yeah.
So, wow, I am just tickled pink that you found it.
So I'm gonna try to, I was actually on the Michael Mann train earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're changing gears. We're going to finish out with the Coen brothers. I'm liking this momentum. I'm a momentum guy. When you have momentum, stick with it. So True Grit's up next. After that, I want to watch the Ballard.
Oh, Ballard Buster Scruggs?
Yeah,
Ballard Buster. Fun watch. You'll like it. A little different than the rest of their stuff. Yeah. That's a bad throw.
That is a terrible throw. So Fargo gets an A/sweet. I might bump it up to an A+/sweet. I'd
bump it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Had a good time. And the accents were great. And yeah, like I said, the suspense and tension were awesome. So can't believe that was made in the mid-90s.
Shouts out Roger Deakins. Yeah. All those, that snow cinematography.
Great. So that's it for what I've watched. Anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
Yeah. Surprise everyone. Not really a movie review today. It's just us chatting movies. Maybe we'll call this episode the Sweet Film Chat.
Yeah, I like that.
You know what I mean? Like, ooh, that's a great pun.
That was a great pun. Oh!
Nope,
oh, wow. He still got it.
Yeah.
Dang.
Impressive.
That was...
So,
look at this spike right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I mean, I watched Bottoms this week. I was thinking maybe we'd talk about Bottoms, but honestly, I didn't love it. Wish I would have loved it more.
Bummer.
Emma Seligman and Rachel Sennett's follow-up to Shiva Baby, which was a lot of fun, really funny movie. And this one just felt really try-hard. Did not land for me. I will say Ayo Adebiri, though, she is a riot. She is absolutely going to be on your screens. She's up next. She's in the next 5 years. She's going to be running films. She's going to be like right on the cusp of A-list. She's so funny. Theater camp, she was funny.
Oh, she was great in theater camp.
This, she's pretty good. But The Bear, I've watched a little bit of Bear. She's good in The Bear. I've also watched, she was April O'Neil in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I'm pretty sure she's one of the voices of one of the characters in Spider-Verse. So good for her.
Oh.
I thought she was. I thought she was the voice of Spider-Bite.
Okay.
I was almost positive that she was. So you'll see her much more on your screens. But today was a good episode.
It was fun.
One little Audible episode.
Yeah, I'm on this Coen Brothers train. I'm looking at their filmography right now. They did The Tragedy of Macbeth. I had no idea they did that.
Oh, I think just one of them did.
Oh, is it?
Because now Joel and Ethan are starting to split off and do their own thing.
Oh, did they have a riff? They have beef?
I just think they want to do their own thing. Gotcha. I've never heard of a beef before. I think Ethan has a movie that's coming out.
Yeah, Joel.
It's like 6 months.
Joel Cohen did just The Tragedy of Macbeth.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see Ethan.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Ethan. Yeah, he has got a new movie that looks pretty interesting. I forget what it's called.
And they are like actually, yeah, the younger brother of Joel. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
There's also a Joel and Ethan Cohen that made the Garfield movies.
Oh.
They make worse movies than the real Cohen brothers.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, he's doing Ethan Coen's doing Driveaway Dolls.
Yes. Yep, that's it.
Yeah, you've seen that trailer, right?
Oh yeah, it looks great. I think they bumped that release date as well.
Yep, February 23rd now.
Yeah. Bummer. But probably a better choice. The next month is so dry for films. It really is just going to be a struggle.
September is brutal.
It's bleak this month. Yeah. The Nun 2 comes out next week, so
Becky saw that?
We both watched it.
Oh,
yeah, okay. We both watched it. I just haven't logged it yet.
Oh, okay.
As we were coming out, this is maybe my favorite thing that happened. Maybe we'll end shortly after this. We're coming out of Bottoms. You know, it's okay. We had a decent time. And this kind of like older guy was there, and he's walking out with us, and he's like, "And with that, I've seen every movie in the theater now." And I told him, I'm like, "I hope that I can be like you one day." And we just went our separate ways. Just had his cute little popcorn tub and his little mug.
Oh.
And he was like, "Oh, I used to live in LA and I'd go see independent movies there all the time. And now that I'm here, we don't get them as often, but I still go to the movies all the time."
Oh, that's so sweet.
I hope to be.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Movies rock.
What a way to end it! What a way to end it!
And with that, everybody, stay sweet.
Sweet.